Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. BK is at Brad Keltner in the Twitterverse. And Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01 in the Twitterverse. Happy Friday to everybody out there. And it's a Country Music Friday on the Triple Option. And I'm not sure who this is.
Is this a
George Strait again?
Nah.
Damn it, I'm giving it a look.
He totally deked you on that.
I gypped you. Yeah. You guys shouldn't have told me your secret.
Is it someone we know?
Okay, well then I'm out. He's 80s, 90s. Like he's not Alan a new Jackson. Age guy. Not Alan Jackson. This is Clint Black.
Okay, well, yeah, we know Clint Black. I don't know much about him. I mean, I don't know like a song and I'd hear him and be like, that's him.
Okay.
And I remember the name.
I don't know who y'all know and who y'all don't know. So
that was a big name.
Okay.
No, Clint Black is a recognizable name. I couldn't tell you a Clint Black song.
I couldn't either.
That's, I think, is the test. Can I give you a Clint Black song?
Well, you got Killing Time. Now you've got one.
Okay.
So if anybody asks you to name a Clint Black song.
I like that.
Killing Time.
Killing Time.
I've heard this one before.
We've been killing time on the show. Time is flying. Time always flies when you're having fun, especially when you're getting good news. And the good news for Longhorn fans today has been the commitment of the top recruit in the 2022 class. He's a quarterback from the great state of Texas, South Lake Carroll, and Quinn Ewers. That's right, Quinn Ewers. He is the verbal commit for 2022 class, the second in that class, and he is the highest rated recruit to make a verbal commitment to Texas since Vincent Paul Young. And did you say he's the highest rated recruit period since Vincent Paul Young, like in all of national recruiting period?
Quarterback wise.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
he's got a perfect score.
And there have only been five other quarterbacks that have had that?
Only one other perfect score guy, and that was B.Y.
Vince Young.
He was only the perfect score.
Okay, we made the perfect score.
The list I ran
down,
yeah, it was the top seven overall quarterbacks.
So currently his score in rating is higher than Trevor Lawrence's when Trevor Lawrence committed to Clemson, and he was one of the highest rated recruits of all time, too.
Yeah.
Still 2 years to go, but he's at a powerhouse program, so he's going to have a lot of help around him. But the 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, everything we heard from Mike Roach earlier, who was looking at him in 8th grade, I'm guessing he's gotten faster than the 4.7. It sounds like he can.
4.7 at quarterback ain't that slow, though. It's
faster than
you think.
Oh, no, it's not at all. And I'd be fine with that. Colt was probably close to that.
He probably was
4.65 around there. But, I mean, and some of that can be football speed, which can be different. We know that. How do you carry your pads? Yada, yada, yada. But, this is good. This is just really damn good news is what it is. And the older you get, you can get a little bit more jaded on recruiting, but you still know that, you know, individually or not, that you can see directions and you can see swings and you can see momentum. And it's good that Texas is playing in this ballpark with the Clemsons, Ohio States, and the Alabamas,
totally,
at least for a quarterback like this.
Yeah. No, I looked at that 247 article from, I think it was like a month ago or something. We talked about it, that ranked all the quarterback rooms in college football. And it had Texas fourth behind Bama, Ohio State, and Clemson. So to your point, Katie, Texas is right there in that category, that class of quarterback rooms where they need to be, championship-level quarterback rooms. I think they had Oklahoma probably sixth or something like that.
Yeah.
But as long as Lincoln Riley's in the quarterback room, it's fine.
It's going to be fine.
He's Sam Pika in there with Lincoln Riley, and I'd probably bet on Sam Pika to have a hell of a year.
That would smell pretty weird, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shoes on. Yeah. Letting my ass
free-balling.
Yeah. Probably be on drugs every game.
Still balling on the Lincoln Riley system.
Yeah, he'd still go for 420 and 5 touchdowns. What am I talking about?
I would have had 7 touchdowns and no picks if I wasn't high.
Have y'all noticed that Sam Pika looks like Gardner Minshew? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Like a bigger Gardner Minshew, a more rotund
more
Minshew?
More like a 3A nose guard version, but
yes, exactly. He looks like it, very,
right.
Very accurate.
At
a hippie school. He does.
Why are you doing Gardner Minshew like that?
Well,
man?
Go look at Sam and pull up a picture of Gardner Minshew on your phone next time, and I guarantee you'll be like, holy Chicago.
A little bit with the hair and the facial hair.
And sometimes,
he does.
And Sam will wear like a
bandana. He does that on purpose.
He does like a bandana or something, too, and he's got a Minshew vibe.
And Sam took an RV across the country.
He would.
They both look like a dude who would live in the van down by the river. Not Foley necessarily, but just that dude. What does he do down there? Reference. We think he's growing mushrooms. What type?
Both. Both.
He goes to the farmer's market, and he's got people coming by. He's also a dealer. Not Sam, but you know what we're saying.
Oh, man.
He's growing poppies in the Ozarks.
Right.
Doing that bit. Yeah, this is a big hit. I mean, anytime you can... This is obvious, of course, the number one player in the country.
Yeah.
That's huge. But you can steal a recruit away from Oklahoma, and this is killing two birds with one stone. Because I think a lot of the rumblings, and once again, this is a class of 2022 young man, so the earliest he can sign is still 16 months from now. So this thing is far from over.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of rumblings over recent months that Oklahoma was sort of the leader in the clubhouse, and who would blame any quarterback?
Of course, he's a smart guy.
And look, I mean, Dallas, Oklahoma's roster is half Dallas kids anyway, so you've got that combination, right? A great quarterback coach in Lincoln Riley, very close from the Metroplex. But, yeah, anytime you can not only get a kid to Austin but take a kid away from Oklahoma, that is huge. And, yeah, winning recruiting battles against Bama, Clemson, this is not just a one-off thing, right? I mean, this is the type of young man people want to play with great quarterbacks. It's as simple as that. Anytime, really at any position, but especially with a top-ranked quarterback in any recruiting class, if that guy commits to a certain school, you generally see a domino effect where players at all positions, but especially on the offensive side of the football, guys want to play with that guy, right? Wide receivers, so they want the best QB throwing to them. Running backs, they want to be around great players. Offensive linemen, they want to block for the best QB. Like, this can be a really, really good thing. Texas has recruited very, very well. I mean, it's been borderline top 10 classes, and 2 years ago was a top five, you could argue a top three class for Tom Herman. But this is the type of class that could be really, really good if you could keep Quinn Ewers committed just because of the guys he can bring along with him.
Yeah. No,
as long as he's not like a total jerk, which by all accounts, he's not a total jerk.
Right.
At all.
He also grew up, I mean, there's already a quote here saying that this fulfilled a lifelong dream, committing to Texas. I mean, so that obviously played into it. But Rod, we've seen it before. I mean, these guys can impact a lot. I remember with Sims and getting the big three.
Yeah, no, I mean, and obviously, yeah, I mean, you're a receiver, and I think that goes hand in hand, right, with a great quarterback. There should be a positive domino effect of guys who just want to play with that player. And I think it happens. I think it happens for different reasons, right? Sometimes it's a quarterback. Sometimes it's just a really, really high-level recruit for Texas in 99. To KD's example, it was Corey Redding and Sims. I think Corey Redding was the linchpin, actually.
Corey Redding got it started with Sims.
Corey Redding was the first one. And I think after that, Sims was committed to Tennessee. And then Coach Tim Brewster, you know, takes Sims from Tennessee. And then after that, it's just the rest was history. It was a whirlwind. Ended up being the number one recruiting class in the country that year. It wasn't by the quarterback necessarily, but you're totally right, KD, and you are as well, BK. Those wide receivers that we got the next year, Roy Williams, B.J. Johnson, and Sloan Thomas, those guys, they'll all tell you, oh, we want to play with Sims.
Mm-hmm.
We want to play with him. We want to play with the best quarterback in the country coming out at the time, which was my man Sims. So I think you can get that. I call it the We Are the World effect, right? There's a great story about We Are the World where Quincy Jones, who is organizing, I believe, We Are the World, he's trying to recruit all these superstars to do the We Are the World song. Have you heard We Are the World, BK? Mm-hmm. I know you're young.
Yeah.
A lot of different stars. The video was for us back then.
Have you seen the video?
I don't know if I've seen the video.
Okay. You got to see the video.
The video is freaky and creepy.
Stevie Wonder's seen it.
He's seen everything for the last 70 years also.
which is even more brilliant.
Quincy Jones was recruiting. He was recruited by Lionel Richie. And I actually think Kenny Rogers was big on it too. He was like a project manager.
Rest in peace.
And yeah, and they were trying to get all these superstars, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder to do it, all this kind of stuff. And Quincy Jones said, listen, you got to get two people to do it, and then everybody else, they'll agree to do it. And the two biggest stars at the time were Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder. He said, if you get those two, everybody else will start volunteering to do it. Those were the two linchpins. Those were the Chris Sims and the Corey Redding of that class. And after that, Bruce Springsteen, Diana Ross, Tina Turner, Willie Nelson, Ray Charles, Bob Dylan, everybody. Oh, Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson on this?
I got to be a part of that.
I got to be a part of this. How can I get in?
Even if I don't want to, my agent's telling me I have to be a part of this.
And the same thing happens with recruits around the country, right? It's like, damn, what's happening here at Texas? They got the number one quarterback. They got this, they got that. And then they start looking in and they want to get in on it. Happened with the DBs at Texas in 2018. 2018, right? Mm-hmm. At that DB class, they just stepped, they kept, you know, bringing in these great DBs, B.J. Foster, DeMarvion Overshown, Caden Stearns, and after a while, they started to figure out, you know, we want to play together. Could we have the greatest DB recruiting class ever? We could do that. We can make history. Let's do it. Let's do it together, guys. And they almost start to recruit one another. And I've always said the best recruiters on every campus, they are not the Brian Carringtons of the world. They're not the Tom Hermans of the world. The best recruiters on every college campus are the players, because they don't have NCAA restrictions about when they can call players, when they can talk to them, reach out via social media. They can do whatever the hell they want. Sam Ellinger is your best recruiter right now. You know what I mean? Joseph Osai is your best. Caden Stearns is your best recruiter right now.
I bet you were a hell of a recruiter as a player.
I got Derrick Johnson. I was a hell of a recruiter.
You got DJ?
I got Derrick Johnson. I still to this day. Y'all owe me. Y'all owe me.
Well done.
but that we are the world.
You also told me you taught him the punch his senior year, which I don't buy that, but I do buy that you actually recruited him here.
No, I didn't teach him a damn thing. That's probably why he was so good. It stopped right there.
You know, Texas, and man, I'm going to feel a little stupid doing this because I'm levying some ridiculous expectations on the kid.
And this might not. This is what Rod and I are trying to get.
This isn't just a Quinn Ewers thing, right? This is a whole program-wide thing, but Texas needs that dude.
Mm-hmm.
They need a Vince Young. They need they need a Cole McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
10 years since Colt left. These kids were 7 years old. Quinn Ewers was 6 years old. He can tell you he remembers Colt McCoy playing, but come on, how much do you remember from when you were 6 and 7?
What your dad told you.
Vince Young, these guys were 1 and 2 when VY was doing his thing here at Texas. Like, Sam Ellinger's kind of been that, and he has an opportunity this year to really be that, but there's no, like, man, that's the dude. I want to go be there and be that guy at the University of Texas. It's been 10 years since Texas has had one of those guys. So I don't care if it's yours. Could be Hudson Card. It could be, and Caden Stearns could turn into that guy. Could be any of these guys. Bijan, whoever. Texas needs one of those dudes that, like, makes the program really, really cool and makes it like, man, I want to go to Texas over Bama, over Clemson, over anywhere else. Like, that's the place that I want to be, even if you're an out-of-state guy.
Yeah, and I feel like they didn't cash in enough, at least with the VY. Now, they had Colt, but Colt was already on campus, and I was hoping for the next 10 years, you know how many kids, Robert Griffins of the world that have just been saying, hey, I want to be number 10, I want to be that, and they didn't cash in enough. BK is exactly right, because, right, you can even have a ton of tradition, 100 years of tradition. You go a decade, and then all of a sudden the kids you're recruiting, man, I remember all that.
Jess made a great point, too, because remember, those kids did grow, right? Deshaun Watson admitted, oh, V-Wild's my hero. That's what I was trying to be like.
All these guys,
right? And then, you know, your RIG3s of the world.
Jameis Winston.
So there was a group of quarterbacks there, but the Shakespearean irony of Texas' downfall under Mack Brown at the end of his career here at Texas was, in the quarterback mecca, you couldn't get any of those marquee big-time quarterbacks. And, yeah, I agree, they didn't cash in on the VY era like they should have. But hopefully Sam Ellinger can be what Ricky Williams was when I first got here. You had Ricky Williams and won the Heisman in 98, and then you came in 99 with Chris Sims and Corey Redden, the two top players on offense and defense in the country with the number one recruiting class, and then that changed everything. Because then Texas was cool because of Ricky freaking Williams, all right? He was a rebel with a cause. And then they were cool again for all the young recruits. They were getting, oh, man, Chris Sims, Phil Sims' son wants to go there. He's the best quarterback in the country. Corey Redding, he's the best defensive player in the country. He wants to go there, number one recruiting class. And then everything was just, it just went, you know, the momentum just started to pick up and it caught momentum on its own. And it was at that point, it was unstoppable.
Yeah.
So I think if Sam has a great year this year, then maybe you get one of those type of situations where it's the perfect storm, if you will, of all those circumstances.
Got to stay relevant. You got to make sure you're producing. Apple Leasing has done both those things 30-plus years. Apple and Scott, they've been very relevant because they've been saving us money. Rod even talked about it earlier. It's like, oh, you buy a car and then you're driving off the lot and you realize there's a 40, 50% just slash like that. Don't do that. Lease. Let Apple do that for you. You can lease to buy if you'd like to, but really make sure that you're in the automobile that you want to be in. They've got pre-owned. They've got new. They've got reps online. You can take the free lease quote. You can also see what your trade-in would be. I'm telling you, all this can be done at appleleasing.com. No lease payments for 3 months, too. Give them a call, 833-912-0259 or appleleasing.com.
All right, guys, I want to hit this story real quick. And, Rod B., you sent this in the text chain earlier today. This is interesting, right? I mean, we've been talking about this. Everybody's been talking about this for years in college sports. When and how are student athletes going to be able to make some money, right? I mean, name, image, and likeness has become the big topic of conversation, and it seems like we've already had a couple of states pass bills that are going to allow for students to generate profit off of their name, image, and likeness. But apparently a group of U.S. senators, we don't get into political stuff too often on this show, but this one is directly impacting college sports. A group of U.S. senators led by Cory Booker and Richard Blumenthal, got to be a member of the tribe right there. Yesterday, they
goes by Dick, too. I think he does.
Oh, dang it. All right. Well, it's a mistake.
Still part of the tribe.
It's still part of the tribe. I'm not as happy about it anymore. yesterday, these guys unveiled outlines of a comprehensive legislation that would assist college athletes in ways well beyond making money from name, image, and likeness. They are calling this a college athlete's bill of rights.
Hmm.
They are issuing a statement saying that they are seeking to give athletes revenue sharing agreements with the NCAA, conferences, and schools, plus the ability to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. So not just the NIL stuff, but also some potential revenue sharing agreements where student athletes can make money that generally would go to the NCAA, conferences, and the universities themselves. You guys read into this? Do you think this could actually get off the ground and we could really get some work here? Or should we just go one step at a time and start with name, image, and likeness before we get a little carried away?
What do you think, sir?
I mean, it's a bold strategy. Actually, I agree with it. It's not going to happen, but I agree with it, and I think it's something that's probably, you know, long overdue to at least have the discussion about it. When we in our society, there are certain things that are taboo, right, at different times, and then we evolve in our discourse and we acclimate to it. Let's take marijuana, for instance, right? 30, 40 years ago, most of the country is against legalized marijuana. Now, most people are for legalized marijuana. What happened in between? There was something that desensitized us to it. It was probably
part of it was education.
It was medicinal marijuana.
That
it was
too.
It was people who were actually sick and needed help, and you're like, oh no, marijuana can help. And then
Charlotte's Web would have been a big part of that.
Yeah, and then states slowly but surely they started to desensitize, started to kind of deregulate, if you will, the legalized marijuana. And I think that was a big part of it. You're talking about gay marriage, same thing, right? The country was against gay marriage 30, 40 years ago. Now most of the country is for gay marriage, and it's legalized in this country. What happened? A lot of people think it was just TV. It was Ellen coming out on television. It was, you know, all the television shows like Modern Family that bring the members of the LGBTQ community into your household so you get to know them, because most people don't know anybody who's gay or a member of that community. And people thought, oh, you know, it's the same thing with a black president. A lot of people think that the black president thing happens because there were a lot of black presidents on TV first. Right, whether you're talking about the Dave Chappelle show, you're talking about the Richard Pryor show, or you're talking about those movies where Morgan Freeman's the damn president all the time.
What was the one on CBS or NBC?
It was one of those too, right? And people,
it was Joe Boo.
Yeah, he was. I forgot his name.
Pedro Serrano,
the guy that does the commercials for the insurance company. What's his name? The Allstate.
Save driver, save 40%.
Yeah, Pedro Serrano. Right. So I'm just
Joe Boo.
Most of the country 34 years ago are against unionization of college football players. They're against players being paid. I think the name, image, and likeness movement, and it's happening in Florida next year, 2023. It'll happen in California. Probably gonna happen in Colorado a little bit after that. It's gonna do for pay for play what essentially medicinal marijuana did for the legalization of marijuana, and what fantasy sports and what March Madness is doing for legalized gambling in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy sports just legalized sports gambling. It's just a PG-13 version of it. So now we're desensitized to it.
It was a soft run through.
Exactly. Now what's happening now? Everybody wants to legalize sports gambling.
No, I think you're right. I think you make some good points.
That's what the name, image, and likeness will be. It'll be that thing that can, that vehicle that can acclimate us to something that was taboo 30 years ago.
We'll call it the gateway drug.
That's even simpler. Yeah. It is.
No, but exactly I think you bring up some good points and some big things, but some different things across the country. And really, it's about kind of destigmatizing some things.
Yep.
Obviously, with marijuana, it was like that. But I think also finding out logistically how you can get it done. And with this one in particular, I mean, I don't know. I get the sense that a majority of people are on our boat, that they should be paid, and certainly name, image, and likeness should have been done years ago.
Agreed.
Yeah, just give me that first.
That's just robbery.
Just give me that first. Right. Make sure that all goes down before we...
And that may get other things going.
Mm-hmm, no doubt.
Real quick, I want to read one quote before we get done here. This quote comes from Woody Hayes, the late, great Woody Hayes.
Woody Punch.
They asked him way, way back in the day what he thought about student athletes and college football players specifically being considered employees. He said, quote, "You don't attract the kinds of crowds it takes to fill these arenas unless you pay a lot of attention to your job. And the job, to some extent, for some of these boys, is football. It's a job."
Wow.
That's Woody Hayes.
Woody.
I'll give you another from Bear Bryant in 1974. Bear Bryant said, "I used to go along with the idea that football players on scholarship were just student athletes, which is what the NCAA calls them, meaning student first and athlete second. We were kidding ourselves, trying to make it more palatable to the academics out there. At the level we play," he said, "the boy is really an athlete first and a student second."
Mm.
Walter Byers, in his book, Unsportsmanlike Conduct, Exploiting College Athletes, said, "We need to free the college athletes and enact a comprehensive college athletes bill of rights." He was the former executive director of the NCAA, the first, actually.
And that was a while ago when he published that book, right?
It was probably 2015 when he passed away, somewhere around there. Yeah, 2015.
And in fairness to Bear Bryant, he was well ahead of people in terms of coaches paying, so... He actually took care of that.
Yeah, I think he was just giving us some insight on what he was doing behind the scenes.
That's cool, though. Both those guys, Woody Hayes and Bear Bryant, with that long time ago, too.
Yeah, and it's really cool that Pedro Serrano is the All-State guy.
Yeah, I forgot what his real name is.
I don't know what his name is.
What's his real name?
I don't care. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that is him.
He saved drivers, saved 40%.
Yeah.
That's all he is. That's his real name now. Unreal. All right, there is... a great segment, talking Texas football. Quinn Ewers, once again, the quarterback. The number one.
Haysbert's
the guy.
I would never know that.
Nobody knows his name.
That.
But he's been in a lot of stuff. We know him.
Yeah, we know him.
The desert never lies, gentlemen. Remember that. All right, it is.
F you, Joe Boo. I do it myself.
Triple option with RVKD. We've got the VK Lounge coming up. We'll keep the Texas football conversation coming. Some more practice notes that we haven't touched on from this week, including a player that I think people are forgetting about a little bit. There we go. It's Friday. God, it's almost the weekend. We're so close to getting out of here. Texas football talk coming up next.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here.
Oh, the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it in two seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles yet?
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. August 14th, 2020 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner. And this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Check them out online, avconsultations.com, or give them a phone call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. Do it soon. Sports, we already have sports back. NHL's back. NBA playoffs getting started this weekend and into Monday. NFL less than a month away. College football less than a month away. Get your TV setup done right now with the experts at AV Consultations. All right, gentlemen, a lot of Texas football conversation on today's program. We're going to keep that theme rolling. If you missed it, if you're just joining us, the big news that dropped a little bit before 5 o'clock Central Time, Texas picked up a commitment from the number one player in the country for the class of 2022. That is 5-star quarterback Quinn Ewers from South Lake Carroll High School, coached by Riley Dodge.
Yeah.
Related to Todd Dodge.
Would have grown up probably rooting for Texas.
Would have grown up probably rooting for Texas.
Riley, because his dad played there.
Mm-hmm. And Quinn Ewers grew up rooting for Texas as well. Big get for the Longhorns. Already a bunch of murmur going around on Twitter right now. You're seeing a lot of other top recruits in the classes of 2021 and 2022 being excited about the news for Quinn Ewers. And Brian Carrington, the director of recruiting at the University of Texas, said, "We not even done yet." I think there's a lot to potentially be excited about in the near future on the recruiting trail for Texas. The near and far future, right? Like 2021, I think there's some guys, I don't know if it has anything to do with the Quinn Ewers news, but I've been hearing some good things about some 2021 kids that may have been leaning elsewhere beforehand that are now starting to lean a little bit more to Texas, but also in the long term with a guy like Quinn Ewers, the top player in the 2022 class, that's going to make an impact for Tom Herman and this entire coaching staff on the recruiting trail moving forward as well.
There were a couple guys floated to me today that I told y'all about. I didn't, you know, give a name, not going to give up the source. And he said, "Hey, this is one name I'm going to give you, but it was not this name." So, and I was starting to hear, no, there may even be a bigger one. And I'm guessing that he was talking about Quinn. But a couple different people had hit me up and just said, "Hey, this could be a big day and a big weekend for Texas." So I think BK's on point there from what he's hearing, that it may just be more than Quinn. So that it gets back to that momentum, Rod, which can be huge.
Which starts sometimes behind the scenes where, you know, we're not privy to.
Right.
Could be some rumbling somewhere. Then maybe this is not the only shoe to drop.
I like that. All right, guys, so let's talk some current Texas football, though. The 2020 team, once again, the season opener, less than a month away. It'll take place on September 12th against UTEP at DKR. We know that. The great news that dropped earlier this week. We've been talking some practice notes and nuggets from the last couple of days in the insider sites, Horns 24/7, Inside Texas, Orange Bloods. They've been doing great work. Give them all some love. We don't give you all of what they have because we want you to help support our brothers and sisters in this business, in this industry. But I was taken aback by a couple of things, but especially this one, and we haven't touched on this. And Rod B., I definitely want your thoughts as a DBU guy, because there was an interesting nugget regarding DBU, something that's been going on at practice for the first week or so down on the 40, that B.J. Foster's not getting first-team reps anywhere on this defense.
Yes.
Right? The two starters, the two starting safeties, at least right now in practice, are Caden Stearns and Chris Brown. You're starting corners, you're seeing Jalen Green, you're seeing DeSean Jameson, you're seeing Josh Thompson get a little bit of work, you're seeing Kenyatta Watson get a little bit of work as well. And then the starting nickel, at least the guy getting first-team reps at that spur position, at that nickelback position, is Chris Adamora.
Yep.
So right now, I mean, it's a good problem to have if you're Texas, because you feel pretty damn good about all of those guys. But man, B.J. Foster was so highly touted as a recruit. And he's also done a lot since he's been here. Like, dealt with injuries last year, which kind of took away, you know, some of what we could have gotten from him. But he's been productive when he's been on the field. What's going to happen with B.J. Foster? Could he really not be a starter for Texas when it takes the field week one against UTEP?
Yeah, it's very possible. You know, I think they are going to try to let him compete with Chris Brown. I know initially the reports were that he was going to compete at the nickel with Chris Adamora. That still may be the case. He may get some reps there. But I think the coaches really like Adamora at nickel. We talked about that. Just kind of like his instincts there. And Chris Brown earned his way on the field. Remember, Chris Brown had to be beginning of last year, before last year, he's the one fighting for reps. He's the one that's saying, "Hey, he may demand some playing time. This guy's pretty good." And now he is the one starting ahead of B.J. Foster. So I think B.J. Foster is going to get playing time. I don't know if he's going to start. I really don't know if he's going to start.
So where do you think he projects best as? Like, if you were Chris
Boundary
Ash,
safety.
Okay.
Yeah, you want him in the boundary. Yeah, you like him as a boundary
that's
safety.
That's kind of where I'm at right now, too. And look, I mean, injuries can happen, right? You knock on wood, you hope that they don't, but we saw what happened to the secondary before last season and throughout the first month of last season, right? You can't have enough secondary pieces in the Big 12, and B.J. Foster is going to get run, even if nobody gets hurt, right? You just need some guys in to get them some playing time.
I thought his instincts, he should be a starter.
Yeah.
He's a playmaker. He makes plays.
If he doesn't start, and especially if someone takes over that boundary safety spot, and let's say Brown's ahead of him, then God, Brown is that weight change and all the new coaching staff has really turned him into a different player. I mean, because I think he's a really good player, but guys, just eyeball would say B.J. Foster should be a starter somewhere, right?
That's where I'm
usually
at.
Usually I think so.
That's where I'm at. I mean, all right. Not to take any shots at Chris Brown, because he's been pretty good too. But it's like, man, I don't know. I don't know.
Wait till you put on the pads too. We know BJ Foss is a different player with his pads on. He's got a violent physicality that I think sets him apart. So I think maybe pads get on, he'll earn more playing time. But you know what? Like you said, first world problem.
I got
too many damn good safeties, and I got to get him on the field.
Absolutely, take it. And one other question, and we've touched on this a little bit in the past. You know, this isn't really a practice nugget by any stretch, but, man, I think a huge part of whether or not Texas can be successful on the defensive side of the football and also whether or not the Longhorns can compete for a Big 12 title this year, freshman year Caden Stearns needs to come back.
Amen.
That has to be a thing. And I've given the numbers, right? He had one.
Health, too.
Health-wise, too. But, I mean, his freshman year, the four interceptions that he had, which tied the school freshman record held by Earl Thomas. Last year, he had just one PBU, and no interceptions, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries. Like the Wolf of DKR, the guy who was one of the best ball hawks in all of college football as a true freshman 2 years ago. I don't want to say he was nowhere to be found, but in terms of making those game-changing plays that we got accustomed to 2 years ago, we weren't getting those from Caden Stearns. Now, I don't think he was fully healthy at all last year, so that probably contributed to a little bit of a step back in terms of production. But, man, Texas needs takeaways, and they need who I think is their best takeaway artist, maybe with DeSean Jamison, too, right? He's sort of a ball hawk at corner. Yep. But, man, you need close to freshman year, and hopefully better than freshman year Caden Stearns to be a part of things this year for Chris Ash's defense to really be good.
Yeah, it really showed us, guys, how these guys were thinking too much, and that's on the coaching staff and what they were. They were almost one of them to be robotic, too. And not letting them use their instincts, not letting them use their football savvy. And that's something that I think Stearns and Foster, the last two guys we talked about, have in spades, especially Stearns, Rod, where they got to let this guy just go out there and roam and play football.
He'll play the field safety, so he'll be exactly where BK wants him. He'll be the guy that's the umbrella over the top of the defense, be able to make plays sideline to sideline. Is the only guy to make all-conference at Tech, first-team all-conference as a true freshman before Caden Stearns was Earl Campbell. So he's got ability through the roof. I mean, his talent level is unbelievable. But you're right, the injuries have held him back. The injuries held the entire secondary back last year, guys. You had 30 games missed total between eight different players. That's a lot of reps missed.
No question. Mm-hmm. No question about that.
In the secondary alone.
Yeah, also real quick on the cornerback stuff. I know you talked about this yesterday, Rod B., but man, it's fascinating to me that DeSean Jamison is splitting some reps right now. And a guy who was a first-team all-conference player. Like, that cornerback battle is going to be fun to watch.
Preseason.
Yeah. And I am curious, once again, how Anthony Cook fits into the equation, too. Obviously, a tumultuous offseason for him. Might be a little bit in the doghouse, if you will, or at least just having to earn some respect back from his coaches and his teammates because of his stint in the transfer portal. But, man, it's a luxury. Texas has a ton of corners, and I am curious, like, what the leash is going to be for these guys, right? Even if it is Jalen Green and DeSean Jamison and Chris Adamora as your three starters at the cornerback spots for the Longhorns, like, you know, what happens in Lubbock if Alan Bowman starts torching this defense? I mean, what's the leash? Is it a quarter? Is it a half? That's
a great question.
You got Oklahoma as your third game, your fourth game, excuse me. Like, and you better have your guys figured out by the time you're going up against Lincoln Riley. So what's the leash going to be? I hate to go negative with this conversation, but you've got a lot of talented corners. How much time do you give guys to figure it out if they get off to slow starts?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think you're getting more cornerbacks playing. I had to talk to a coach friend of mine who said oftentimes when you're playing one corner, say in practice, you're giving one corner a chance to start and give all the reps, and you're splitting reps at the other corner. Sometimes it is because the guys who are splitting reps, you're more sure about him. So maybe they're more sure about DeSean Jamison, and Jalen Green missed a lot of time last year, needs those reps to work his technique, and they're just giving Kenyatta Watson more time to see what he's got.
Gotcha.
Instead of splitting that with Jalen Green, who needs the reps because he didn't get them last year, DeSean Jamison got more reps probably than any of those cornerbacks. He's one of the few guys that didn't get hurt. He just was – remember, they started Kobe Boyce at first, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Rod, that's a great point, and I was going to maybe do this for one and done this week. I'll save it for next week, or we can just get into it next week. But because of the pandemic, there's already stuff that naturally as sports fans we can get kind of sucked into, and that's okay. It's nothing bad about it. You can really know sports too. You can have a lot of experience, but with the pandemic, sometimes you can focus on things a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. And this is still, whether it's Troy O'Meara or whatever, yeah, we're still very early on, and you can maybe overread some things at times.
Questions.
And I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
Especially with no pads on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So there you go, the BK Lounge. Just some questions to ponder about this Texas defense going into 2020, and obviously some talk about the commitments for the class of 2020.
TJ Foster, life comes at you fast, doesn't it? It comes at you really. Anthony Cook, too, it comes at you fast. You're starting one day, and then the next day.
2020 is a weird year.
Can't see the field.
5-star one day, and next day I'm in the transfer portal.
And back.
And then back. And then I'm back.
Crazy. All right, we've got one segment to go here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We'll tell you what's on tap, what we're getting into in the world of sports and beyond this weekend. Up next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this
town? Oh, yeah. You know, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD, and it's time to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. Gentlemen, we are done for the week. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Hope you had a great time listening to the show. It's been a damn good time bringing you the show. Now time to let you know what's on tap. I'm assuming for BK, it's going to be a sportsgasm.
Oh,
weekend sportsgasm.
So many sports.
Starts tonight with your Stars.
Starts tonight. Dallas Stars game 3 against the Calgary Lames coming up at 9:40. Another late night for the Stars. But yeah, playoff hockey all weekend long. We've got the play-in.
Play-in,
NBA,
baby.
Starting tomorrow. Not a lot of basketball this weekend, though. Kind of a bummer. Like, the real playoffs don't start until Monday. So if Portland wins tomorrow, then that's it. That's the only playoff basketball game we're going to get. But obviously, you've got baseball going on, big UFC card. You got golf. You got sports, guys.
Here's one that
much sports for BK.
No such thing.
Isn't always going to spread it around.
Exactly.
And don't answer that, BK. Here's one that usually would really pop, you know, but it just doesn't because of how bad one of the teams is. Red Sox Yankees. Red Sox are awful, y'all.
Yeah, they really are bad. I didn't even realize that series was happening this weekend.
Exactly.
And that never happens, right? Because
ESPN won't let you.
Exactly.
Usually.
It usually gets so hyped up. I didn't even realize they were playing.
That's crazy. Actually, I didn't either. That's weird. That usually that is one of the most hyped up sporting events of the year when they meet.
Right. In fact, just to show you how messed up it is, Braves Marlins, because the Marlins, let's give them some love. There's a little Brooklyn net in them.
In terms of not
having really their regular pieces, but coming up and showing up, you know?
I think COVID might have to be considered a PED.
For Marlins?
Yeah. Like some of the players, like DJ LeMahieu, who dealt with COVID in the offseason for baseball, is hitting like .438. You've got the Marlins, whose entire team dealt with COVID, are somehow like really good. They're having their best year in forever.
So the Cardinals are
Yeah, the
on
Cards
fire.
Are about to win 10 in a row or something. Like, we might have to add this to the banned substance list. COVID-19. It might not fly anymore, fellas.
It's pretty good.
I am curious, though. We got Rangers-Rockies this weekend for your Rangers fans. You can hear those on 1260 Lance Lynn tonight. And also the Astros getting back at it against Seattle. Yordan Alvarez, baby, the return of Alvarez. Can he be the spark the Astros so desperately need in that lineup?
Yeah, they need something.
That'll be good.
Get their mojo back.
Grizzlies Trailblazers.
That's going to be fun. I just want to watch Damian Lillard, man. I mean, we didn't talk enough about him, but Damian Lillard, he could arguably be considered the MVP of the bubble. He set the record for the most points scored in the last 3 games of the NBA season in history. 152 points total.
Pretty crazy.
In those 3 games?
Yeah, well, he only had 42 yesterday. It was
and
pretty
he fell
lackluster
off a little bit,
performance.
Yeah.
On like 20 shots, he was still incredibly efficient. What about you guys? Anything besides sports? Because that's all I'm doing this weekend.
Cubs, Brewers, we got that.
That's sports.
Yeah, that's
trash
sports.
Trash TV.
I mean, yeah, maybe some trash TV.
Oh, there's a new HBO show coming out called Lovecraft Country. I'm going to watch that.
What is that?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's going to be
really?
Pretty good.
Really? Lovecraft Country?
It's based on a book. I have not read the book. I know. Oh, everything's based on a book.
BK, at least it's not the book, though.
That's true. At least you're
not reading
the book.
If people didn't take books and actually, you know, put it into something, then you wouldn't know what the hell's going on.
What if I told you on tap I was going to read this weekend? What would you say, BK?
I'd believe. Yeah. I am turn your mic off first. I am going to
read.
I'm not going to
use. I'm not going to use a crock pot though, so I'm still more of a man.
Come on, what's
going on? You're ragging on the crock pot.
I'll go by crock pots.
He was praising reading, and you're bagging on the crock pot.
He was getting some crap last night. I'm all for it. And I actually am going to take the chicken that BK gave me too, and be able to eat that. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Mike Roach, did a great job coming on. Get to Horns 247. If you want to find out more of their information, good news for Texas as they pick up a 5-star for the 2022 class. That would be Quinn Ewers.
Ewers.
That'll do it for us. You got Friday Night Flex coming up next. So Sam and Snoop. For Rod Babers, for Brad Conner, I'm Kevin Dunn. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Peace.